I despised suits and ties. For 17 years, I had been surrounded by suit-wearing, tie-choking, hat-flying church folk. My teenage wardrobe hollered the defiance of a preacher's kid. It was January 17th, 2000. More than 3,000 black people, with a smattering of white folks, arrived that Monday morning in their Sunday best at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Northern Virginia. My parents arrived in a state of shock. Their floundering son had somehow made it to the final round of the Prince William County Martin Luther King Jr. oratorical contest. I didn't show up with a white collar under a dark suit and matching dark tie like most of my competitors. I sported a racy golden brown blazer with a slick black shirt and bright color-streaked tie underneath. The hem of my baggy black slacks crested over my creamy boots. I'd already failed the test of respectability before I opened my mouth, but my parents, Carol and Larry, were all smiles nonetheless. They couldn't remember the last time they saw me wearing a tie and a blazer, however loud and unconventional. Note on unconventional. I changed crazy to unconventional. Crazy is too often used in ableist fashion to identify anyone or anything abnormal, as I did here. My expertise lies in racist language. I'm still learning to identify my own ableist language, terms like crazy and stupid and dumb, and to catch myself before using these terms and others. I replaced quite a few ableist terms for this paperback edition. I'm striving to clean out all forms of bigotry from my vocabulary. It is striking how many terms we routinely use that are dirtied by bigotry. But it wasn't just my clothes that didn't fit the scene. My competitors were academic prodigies. I wasn't. I carried a GPA lower than 3.0. My SAT score barely cracked 1,000. Colleges were recruiting my competitors. I was riding the high of having received surprise admission letters from the two colleges I half-heartedly applied to. A few weeks before, I was on the basketball court with my high school team, warming up for a home game, cycling through layup lines. My father, all 6'3" and 200 pounds of him, emerged from my high school gym's entrance. He slowly walked onto the basketball court, flailing his long arms to get my attention and embarrassing me before what we could call the white judge. Classic dad. He couldn't care less what judgmental white people thought about him. He rarely, if ever, put on a happy mask, faked a calmer voice, hid his opinion, or avoided making a scene. I loved and hated my father for living on his own terms in a world that usually denies black people their own terms. It was the sort of defiance that could have gotten him lynched by a mob in a different time and place, or lynched by men in badges today. I jogged over to him before he could flail his way right onto our layup lines. Weirdly giddy, he handed me a brown manila envelope. "This came for you today." He motioned me to open the envelope, right there at half court, as the white students and teachers looked on. I pulled out the letter and read it. I had been admitted to Hampton University in Southern Virginia. My immediate shock exploded into unspeakable happiness. I embraced Dad and exhaled, tears mixed with warm-up sweat on my face. The judging white eyes around us faded.